If you are in network, you are going to want to tune into this podcast. So many people think the Rehab Cairo model is only cash. We only charge cash, higher price, yada, yada, yada. And while most of our members absolutely do, if you want to know a secret between you and I, the easiest businesses to fix and to make more money are actually the insurance-based practices, because most of them don't understand that still most of their income, sometimes 50, 60, 70% of their income still comes from non-insurance paying patients. And so this podcast is an interview with David Glazer, who's been practicing 12 years. He is an industry vet in Virginia. And when David joined our program, the first thing we did was an audit on his collections. And what we realized was almost 70% of his collections, like the money that went into the bank, even though he was in network with insurance, was still from HSA, FSA, credit card, cash, check. And when we figured out that audit, we were off to the races. So if you are in network, this podcast is absolutely for you. You're going to get so much from listening to David's story. Again, this is not a new grad. This is a guy that's been in the industry, doing the work. And finally, after dozens of years, after a dozen years, we've been able to make a change. And now he's, again, off to the races, literally and figuratively. David is also trying to build a running niche in his community and just an all-around unbelievable stand-up guy. On a personal level, David's been someone who has come into our world and you've seen him gain confidence. It's been so cool to watch him gain confidence as a person, as a business owner, and the future is so bright. The next thing that I will say about David is he is someone who I want to emulate and I want all of you young bucks to emulate. You are never too old. You are never too far in it to know everything. And I have a special level of respect for people like David. He and I sort of graduated around the same time that he would put himself in a position to continue to learn more. You know, our company's core value is teach and learn daily. But I know for a fact there are people out there that literally will not potentially do coaching in our world because they've been doing it longer than I have. And as we always say, they are trying to be right, not get it right. And if you're one of those people out there that's a little bit old and crusty and thinks that you don't have much to learn or has too big of an ego, I would just say check your ego. My goal when I'm 50 is to go find the new grad 27-year-old and learn something that they can teach me that I don't know right now. So David's an unbelievable guy. I know that you're going to enjoy this episode. Just a quick update for you. Please pay attention, guys. We are going to be announcing guest passes very, very, very soon for the next live event, which is May 18th and 19th in New Jersey. We have an unbelievable guest speaker coming, which I'm super excited to announce to all of you. Also, for those looking to get their business off the ground and get it going, no time better than now. CairoBiz 101, open enrollment. Please reach out to me, DM on Instagram, at Justin Rabinowitz. I know we can help you. We've changed hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of lives, hundreds of lives. The last stat that we did, this is incredible. On average, for our members that have been with us longer than 9 months, they make an average of $161,000 more per year. Pause, deep breath, don't drive off the road. I'm not lying. $161,000 more per year. So for you guys that don't have the money, it's because you don't know how to make the money. The reason why you shouldn't is the reason why you should. I promise you, you can do it too. I can't wait to see you all on CairoBiz 101, and I'd love to see you all in person in May. What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Business School for the Rehab Chiropractor. Class is officially in session. My name is Justin Rabinowitz, and I am a rehab chiropractor on a mission to teach you, a fellow rehab chiropractor, the exact tools and systems I've used to build my own successful rehab chiropractic practice so you can do the same. I hope you enjoy, and please subscribe. David, so I want to start with, what is the number one mindset shift that you have had from pre-CairoBiz 101 and Mastermind until today?
The first thing right off the bat was just kind of getting into the nitty-gritty of how selfish I was being, in the sense of I wasn't telling people exactly what they needed, even though they needed it. And even kind of going off of that, just the live event with the use of any softeners, the way I was talking was really downplaying it. So like, how would I ever expect someone to be seen for even six visits, let alone to get them to stay on for three, or to want to ultimately know that you need to see this person for 24. Just the way that was needing to talk to people, that definitely changed a lot. And looking back with that, it was kind of like my own, even that fear of the rejection with that sense. I don't think anyone likes to be told no, or have someone say, no, I'm not buying it. I guess it also too comes down into the conviction behind it, is just standing firm, realizing that you're the doctor. And for someone who's like early on, even if you talk like pre-mastermind, but I was thinking about even like how I was my first 3 years in practice, now being in practice for 12, was also that fear of some people call me out and literally asking me like how old I was. They're like, how old are you? And like, you're telling me what to do. You just have to stand firm behind what you know to be true. And that was a big shift for me. And it really helped with the growth. So not just business, but from the personal side.
Love that. And so tell us where you practice, when you graduated, and what's the name of your practice?
I am in practice in a town called Harrisonburg, Virginia. So we're in the Shenandoah Valley. If people have heard of James Madison University, we're located right across the street from it. It's within a few miles. Graduated from Logan College in December of 2011. Been in practice basically right at 12 years now.
You're an old dog.
Yeah, I guess so.
You've been doing it a while. No, I always have a level of admiration. And I say this at the live events because you and I are kind of been doing it the same amount of time. And I always want to be the person that, I don't care who's older, younger, whatever, if I have something to learn from someone, that'll do it. And you've done that with me, and I appreciate that. So I wanted to thank you for that just right off the bat. I want to talk about, we have so many people that listen to this podcast that the rehab chiro model, high cash rates and hour-long visits and all this nonsense that is not always true. I want you to tell people the story about when you first joined our program and we had you go back and check numbers, even though you take insurance and are in network, the revelation you had when you figured out the percentage of revenue that still came from cash and the growth that you've had, even though you're still taking insurance, which is quote unquote fixed. So tell the audience about that whole story.
When I first got into it, when we were talking about all the finances and all that, I went back and crunched numbers from the previous year. And then once I saw that, I was like, is this true? And then I went back 2-3 years out, and it came down to the most it was like 73%, but on average, it was right at 70%, that it was either however you wanted to look at it as far as what was still cash. So whether people were paying by check, cash, credit card, on the insurance side, some of the payments actually came in like via a credit card. So that might fluctuate a little bit, but still,
sure.
Even then, if you want to throw some of that out, but still, it was a lot higher than what I thought. Like I was expecting, oh, I'm probably getting like 75% of the money I'm getting is from the insurance, like after you bill, and it's only 25% is cash. It was right at like 70%. That was a big eye-opener to realize that at the end of the day, the insurance company's not exactly paying as much as what obviously I thought. And then what the growth had also shown with that is just going back to, we said, the mindset shift was the conversations I was having, just being strong and firm with what I believe and to be true, that increased the PVA by 2.5 sessions. And so from 14 to 16.5, but some months PVA was higher than that, but like average 2.5 visits on average, it's between $60, $65. So let's just say that's an extra $200 per patient. And when I'm getting at least 20, if not maybe 30 new patients a month, so times 200, so that could be an extra $4,000 to $6,000 a month just right there of just being clear and firm with what you're saying, because people will be able to sniff you out, basically.
Let me dive into that. You've been doing it a while, so you do have context. Most people in our group, probably average age is like late 20s, early 30s. And so they might have experienced other things before this, but this is kind of their first foray into it. You, 10, 11 years of doing it one way, teach our audience a little bit on a tactical level of the conversations that you were having before and then what changed. So you have Sally sitting in front of you with back pain. What are the differences for like a new grad coming out? What's changed in your world? Like, give me three big tips that have changed.
It would literally be the difference of being honest with someone and be like, this is a disc problem. This is going to take time versus, yeah, you got some strain going on when you're lifting, trying to talk around what it actually was. And some of that played into just being what I was taught with the whole biopsychosocial model and needing to figure out all these other factors and this and that too. It was almost just like overthinking it of like what you need to say. And just people were like, I just want to know what I got. So now like I get that less because I'm actually telling people this is my strong belief is going on. Because if you tell someone it's just a strain, they automatically think like, oh, okay, it must not be that bad. It's just a muscle thing. Versus when you were like, no, that's the symptom because this is a disc issue and this is going to take time. Throwing in some of from like the evidence-based research as well, from the sense of we know we need to do strengthening, tell people right off the bat, it makes more sense for someone who maybe played sports or had with that too, that they usually grasp that a strength training regimen or strength training cycle is like 12 weeks. So that right there, they know, okay, we're in this for the long haul. And I explain with this, we need to strengthen. And then depending on what the condition is, like if they have a true dysfunction from a dysfunction standpoint, like with the tissues, and we need to do some actual remodeling, that takes 3 to 6 months. So it's just getting that out there to them on the front end and then just constantly remind like every visit, hey, I know pain's down, that too. Of course, if you're lucky, like the pain's going down each time, but sometimes you learn quick. You're like, okay, these are my three things. And they're like, well, that did nothing. That didn't work. Mm-hmm. And then figuring out how to pivot from there and to still get the point across, just because that can be obviously the main driver is pain for a lot of people and getting them to realize that pain may not be going down, but we also need to look at function here because it may not always be linear. You may kind of have some overall fluctuation there, but the one thing, the guarantee is typically when function improves, you know, the pain will gradually go down with it. And it may not always be that the pain goes down and then you work on function. You might just need to completely switch gears and go that functional route. Maybe you do need to throw in the stability work first or sometimes the strengthening as well. So that can be extremely counterintuitive at times. Three things right there is just being direct, using the research to play into your favor, and don't think that that is like you trying to like sell them or be sleazy with it. That's just facts and just right off the bat from there.
I love that. I'm going to ask you a version of a question I asked Kevin Vandy. You mentioned evidence-based, you mentioned research, you mentioned the crowd being the McKenzie crowd or all the kind of circles that we run in. The thing with MSK care basically is that there is a lot of variable and it often does depend and we aren't always sure. You're a seasoned clinician at this point, and so you have really good perspective on this. How would you talk to a graduating student coming from like the worlds that sort of we typically live in where we know that there is variability, we know that it does depend, but also being stern and strong and firm in a, this is what you have going on. Like, how do you weigh both sides of that?
I feel like I kind of went in a little bit with that last little section there, but trying to think of a patient I had, saw her yesterday. She's 30 weeks pregnant, has back pain, pains shooting down the left leg, not past the knee, having pain every time she takes a step on the left side. Just getting the point across to her was actually more of having her not to fear the movement kind of thing and that she was able to move. And so just trying to break past that, we got her moving better. The pain changed slightly. And then it was saying, okay, now that you can actually like bear weight fully on your leg and it doesn't hurt as much, we need to now goes into that functional piece of now let's kind of work on how you're walking. And so coached her through different ways to kind of like land better with her like footwork and so on with that. And the main follow-up was, it was more of the McKenzie approach for her. Then actually talked about having to switch gears. We were just doing a standing extension and then all of a sudden she's about to leave and she was like, okay, no, the pain's worse in my leg. And so now it's like, from the McKenzie standpoint, we don't want to be like doing anything that's going to increase leg symptoms in particular, but further most symptoms. We ended up reevaluating her right then and there. I'm like, yeah, I'm not sending you on your way with that. I don't like that at all. Later back down on the table, did some other moves. Then it kind of showed like we eliminated the back pain. And then what we found was it was actually more of a hip problem. And then gave her the hip exercise. It got rid of all the leg symptoms and so on with that. Just kind of being able to switch gears right off the bat, quick recognition just from like all the reps that I've had. I'm like, yeah, okay, that's going to completely get worse. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I think early on, I'd be like, oh, okay, that's just because your body's getting used to it. You just need to fill it in or basically get the reps in yourself and then it's going to get better. I think it's more, the more you see, the more you know, this ain't good. This is not just going to be like a normal thing. And that unfortunately does come with time. Mm-hmm. But for like the newer, like if someone was just coming out of school to see that, that person might have been a little bit of a unique situation, just because really acute, severe pain. But with those, I wouldn't expect the pain to be gone first visit on a really acute, severe pain patient. Like we're just looking for any positive thing. That's how I work with those patients is this little, hey, if we're having any change whatsoever, we're in a good spot. Because even if it's bad, then it's like, all right, we got to switch gears. If you're good, then we just have to continue to push through it.
Love that. Let's switch gears a little bit. So you are trying to establish a niche in the running community. So you're in it and you're getting going with it. Teach our audience, there's three things that you're doing consistently over and over. What are the top three things that like a student or new grad, hey, I want to also be in the running niche that you're currently doing that you're finding is really, really working?
Yeah, really goes back years worth of just, if there was a local event, I was showing up to it and I was running it.
Running myself. Like running the race, not like
yeah,
running.
Yeah, so yep. I was literally like running it. So I think off of that, it does build the credibility if you yourself are doing it and that you're in it. The more that I was doing it, the more people I met, and then the local race organizers knew he's doing these things. He's a Cairo. He is passionate about running himself. Like he likes running and like working with runners. And so just the conversations and just like a lot of even the principles that are kind of taught here in the group of just nurturing any relationship you have. And so just continuously showing up basically would be a big one.
Number one is continuously showing up, which over the course of 12 years certainly adds up. So that's the first one. What would you say the second one?
Yeah, so continuously showing up, being a runner yourself, if that's what you want to get into, and like showing. So that's where, of course, with social media, posting your runs, Strava is big in my area, probably like all over the US, posting on Strava, liking, giving people the kudos and stuff like that is what it's called, which is basically a like. So social media aspect, number one, to help with the marketing standpoint. And then because of that, then you start to get the name out with that too. What I'm starting to do lately, like starting last year, was doing what I'm calling a running ambassador, where I'm having like local runners, of course, if they're open to it, but just getting them to be able to tag me. So when they come into the office, we're taking a picture, we're posting about it, we're sharing. So I'd say, yeah, I mean, you definitely got to consistently show up. I think whatever niche you're going to go into is to like be in it yourself, because that's going to build definitely the credibility. And then just to surround yourself with like-minded people. But when you have those runners who are active in the community and you get them involved with it, and then they're continuing to spread the message for you.
So the three, and those are awesome. The first one is to consistently show up. The second one is to make sure that you're posting about it and doing the thing actually yourself. And then number three, it sounds like to build your network in that specific area. And I'll just give some context behind the three that you spoke about. I mentioned on the mastermind call the other day, if you just do something long enough and stay in business, you'll survive and eventually it'll happen. And the way to speed up the success you want or to exponentially grow is to do it for a long time, but do it more consistently. So show up more. As an example, if you go to 3 races a year over 10 years, that's 30 races. If you go to 1 race a month, that's 12 races for 10 years. That's 120. So your name, just mathematically, you're going to get in front and with more people. And so for the audience who's listening, it's basic math at some point that if you do it more consistently over a longer period of time and you add more volume to it, you're going to have more success. The second thing that you said was it's an old Gary V line of document, don't create. And so you can create more content about running and doing all of that. But what you said is I run and I post about it. I'm doing it and I'm in it. And so I'm just sharing my experience and my content. And so if you're a CrossFitter or you're a golfer or you're a mom, that is your niche of people. It makes life really, really easy. It's why oftentimes in our world, a lot of the females that run either women's health clinics or female clinics have such success is because they're them. They're their patient. And so it's a very natural thing. Now, it doesn't need to be that way. It makes life easier if you are doing the thing, but it doesn't need to be that way. So I think that's an important point. And then the third thing, which sort of happens when you do the first two well, is that you build a relationship with influencers in the community within that niche. And so you build a network of people, and David, in your world, that would be in the running community, which be involved in marathons and races and charities and all different forms and fashions, high school coaches that gets their athletes and their kids. And so you sort of build that flywheel effect as you develop it. And so I think those three are absolutely phenomenal. To change gears a little bit, what would you say to somebody who you've been doing it a long time? So obviously there's a problem that you were trying to solve when you joined ChiroBiz 101, but what would you say to someone who sees the content, listens to the podcast, follows me on social, and is hesitant about taking the course?
Definitely from someone who was very hesitant to start myself. That was because my situation is I was basically just kind of feeling stuck. I would say there was oftentimes I was just flat out bored with it. So like if you're feeling that it should be like a definite no-brainer to do it, because even in the sense of that, it opened my eyes up to things that I could definitely do to get unstuck even in my current situation, and stuff that I can add to my day that definitely created less of the boredom because it was like something new starting with that too. Because I remember I was coming off of that, and it was right before we were going to take a big family trip to Disney. And I was like, all right, to join or this course and all that too. I knew the family trip was going to cost around 10 grand. And it was just me thinking to change my mindset of I need to start thinking of this as an investment, like invest in other things. After I thought about it for 2 weeks, I was like, why am I hesitant to like invest in myself? That would be my main thing, is like, if you're feeling stuck, you're bored, there's obviously things you can do about that. So it's like, you're not going to get unstuck or become less bored doing the same thing over and over again. If you're looking for a change, it's definitely worth it.
Love it. That's awesome, man. And before we wrap up, and I want you to give your social media and all that, I just want to make sure that I express my gratitude towards you. Like I said in the beginning, I take special appreciation. I know that there are people that will not be coached by me or take my course because they've been doing it as long or longer. And from their own ego, they wouldn't be able to think about that or handle it. I mentioned to someone today, and I mean it, I want to be you. I want to be the person that I'm going to go to a seminar at some point for something with someone that's 10, 20 years younger than me. Just to always remember that it doesn't matter how old you are. If someone has something to teach you, to be humble enough to always hear it, no matter what stage of life I'm in or how far I've gone. And so for me, very, very important. And I wanted to let you know that I appreciate you. I appreciate your willingness to learn. I appreciate your willingness to come in and implement. And you've been a huge part of our program. And I can't wait to see for you the next steps, because you can, David, teach an old dog new tricks. So I appreciate you very much. Why don't you tell the audience where to find you?
Yeah, I would say just to back off what you said, you're saying that you appreciate me. I mean, I appreciate you a lot. I mean, I feel like I hate to say you let me in, because there was a lot of it with me still being an associate. I remember even asking you that. I was like, well, I'm an associate. Like, if this is all business owners, what could I do? What value could I bring and all that? You just were like, well, if you ever wanted to take a chance on yourself, like you're going to learn new skills. If you just give it a chance, it will happen for you. Stuff that I never even thought about life-wise, business-wise, and all that. It's been a really great ride. Been in the group for a little over a year now, and I'm still learning. And you say me being the older of the group, but seeing what some of the younger people who are like only out of school a year, 2 years, 3 years, they're like inspiring the hell out of me, because I'm like, dang, like these guys and girls, of course, they're younger than me and they're taking all these chances. I've only known one way and this is eye-opening, and they're like in it and learning it. It's really cool to see them, people that are like 10 years younger than me, doing amazing stuff. So social media, you can find me on Instagram at Doc Glazer. So DocGlazer. Website is functionforlife.com. So it's FOUR. I was trying to get the number four, but someone already had that domain.
I hear that.
As you know.
I hear that.
Facebook, I do also have another Instagram account, which is Dr. David Glazer and then Function for Life. So like you could also find me there.
David, I appreciate you. Thank you so much. I know the audience is going to get a ton out of this. Thank you. All right, guys, we are at the end of the podcast, and you know what that means. It is time for me to beg you, to plead you, to encourage you that if you are listening to this podcast and you are getting a lot of value out of it, just remember and think about what could you get if you actually let me coach you live and in person, one-on-one in our group of mastermind members. So here's what I want you to do. If you've been listening to this podcast for a long time, getting a lot of value, but have not taken ChiroBiz 101, I want you to go into the show notes. In the show notes, we have a link. It is go.rehabchirocoach.com/strategy call. That is go.rehabchirocoach.com/strategy call. I want you to book a strategy call with our team so that we can see if you are a good fit for ChiroBiz 101. At our last count, we have gotten our clients 177% growth from that program. So if you haven't taken our course and if you listen to the podcast and get value, I want you to book that call. I'll see you later.